Okay.
In your shell, 'cause the world is out to bleed you for. They write, what will you gain making your life a little longer? Heaven or hell, was the journey cold? The gave you eyes of steel, shelter behind, changing your mind to play Joker.
Right beneath
to listen to a stranger. I wanna know you.
Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, October 9th, 2023. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening live over a radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on a weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, it's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of a website, which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. You can also support us by purchasing the books, Government by Consent and Court Access in the Common Law, also found on the right-hand side of our website. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on the donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off last week with the scripture reading. We're in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 5 or 6. Yep, chapter 5. So 1 Corinthians chapter 5, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 5. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. With such an one, no, not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person.
Okay, Jan, do we have any questions or announcements?
Yes, we have three or four tonight. John, the first one is, John talks a lot about after devolution. I'm optimistic about it, but still wanted some reassurance. Would a many things be addressed and either rescinded, repealed, or disbanded after its conclusion? And would other everyday burdens be finally done away with, such as ordinances at the local level, which are mostly enforced under the color of law, and such as property taxes, wage taxes, and municipal codes?
Well, yeah, after devolution, and by the way, we have a lot of information on our website concerning devolution. It's under today's issue. There it is. Under today's issues, you can come down and click on our button, devolution, and you get quite a bit of good information. A lot of videos here that'll really help out. Also, underneath that, you'll find Q News Anon. I think it's, what's it, SD Anon. And there's quite a bit of information here. He's got 61 reports right here on this. As covering the idea of devolution being real and people being unsure about, Ken, I think we're feeding through your mic right now. But, you know, one of the key things, what we have discovered, well, I have discovered a long time ago, we've been teaching this for quite some time, it's a principle of common law, ultimately. And that is truth is self-evident. It's written in our Declaration of Independence. Truth, you know, is seen if you listen long enough. You'll find cracks and flaws, and you'll find contradictions and so on and so forth if you don't have truth. But truth will always be consistent and constantly flow, and it becomes obvious after a time. Anybody that's been looking into devolution long enough and being, you know, really to see if it's real or not, of course with a hope, it doesn't take too long before you start to realize there's a certain consistency and truth about these things. Now, once we get on to the other side of devolution, we have to return back to the Constitution. I have a lot of hope and trust that the white hats, particularly, you know, Trump, the leader of such a thing, and of course the military and so on and so forth, to bring us back to the Constitution. So things have to be corrected. So codes have nothing to do with us. I think we're going to see a lot of the local courts start to fall apart. When I say local courts, I mean the town courts, the village courts, city courts. And again, depending. I mean, New York City, for instance, the city courts down there in New York is considered courts of record, so they kind of pick up as state courts down in the different boroughs down there in New York City. And it might be some other cities are the same way, but most cities have city courts that are not necessarily has anything to do with state courts. A lot of little city courts, I know there's a city court in Poughkeepsie, which isn't too far from me, and that's a court that... It really relies on, really, as far as paying their police force and as far as keeping going, as far as the paying the salaries and for the building and so on and so forth, it's a business. You know, if you stop giving code violations to the local people, to the regular people, they'll all fall apart. So they will fall apart as time goes on. Sales tax is a legal tax, except on food and clothing. Although most places, most states do charge sales tax on clothing. I know certain states don't, and none of them should. And I know Pennsylvania doesn't charge sales tax on clothing. Also food, you're not supposed to charge tax on food, but everything else is it can be taxable. And that's one legal way, lawful way for government to collect money. That's where most of the state income comes, but they also have state income taxes. State income tax is unconstitutional, it's unlawful. Property tax is unlawful. Income tax is unlawful. I mean, there's a lot of going on out there that's unlawful. All that will disappear as time goes, and it'll disappear quite quickly, I believe. I know we here at National Liberty Alliance is poised to bring justice back into the courts. We've done everything we could. We've been filing papers for, let me think, 7 years maybe, and our latest papers, which we've tried two or three times to get through to the United States Supreme Court, has been blocked by some clerk over there is preventing our paperwork from going through. But you know, the point is that our paperwork is at a point. I don't think we're going to take the position we're taking at the moment. I think we're going to take a much stronger position, and that is to actually do a lawsuit against the federal judiciary. We might even consider coming together and indicting the federal judiciary as a whole, okay, and bringing that into the courts. But, you know, they're not going to do anything with that on this side of devolution. We're going to have to wait until things really get out of hand and devolution is in full play, and then we'd have to make a decision on when we might start filing papers. It's going to be one paper, one big paper. I've been working on that recently, and I'll be working on that for the next few months or whatever it takes to get it done. But it's pretty much almost done in the sense that we've written a very large paper, a couple of hundred pages, detailing all of the violations and the fraud going on in the federal courts particularly. But this extends all the way down into the town courts and how they've robbed us of our liberty. They've stolen our judiciary. They've sent out swarms of lawyers, bar attorneys, to destroy our liberty, to destroy our republic. The purpose of the bar ultimately has always been to destroy the natural law here. Back then it was in the colonies and continued on into the states. So all of that will be repaired. There's going to be a seizure of properties, businesses, monies, gold, silver, I mean, all kinds of things from the elite, which goes into the many, 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 many trillions. So forget about the fact that they claim that we owe them anything. We're all casualties of war. We all have to be restored. We've all been injured. So all that seizure of all of those properties, that monies, and so on and so forth, will go back to the people. And that, of course, will boost the economy. And we're not just talking about the American people. People of the world have been damaged. I mean, it is true that the United States probably get the lion's share, and rightfully so. We've been paying for it for quite some time. But on the other side of that coin, there are people that are starving. There are people, you know, millions and millions and millions of people that government, especially in the 20th century, has killed off. And that's all part of their plan, of course, for population control. They're planning World War III to get rid of as many of us as possible. I mean, it just goes on and on. Our water is poisoned. Our air is poisoned. Our food is poisoned. Our medical services ultimately were fed poisonings. Their doctors are dope pushers. They push dope to kill you. If you read any of these labels, might cause instant death, might cause heart arrhythmias, might cause, you know, seizures. I mean, all kinds of stuff if you really look into all these medications that they give you. And if you go to a proper place, I mean, there is one place I go listen to, a guy I listen to all the time, it's Dr. Berg, B-E-R-G. He's on YouTube. He's got thousands of videos. And he is bringing forth solutions that solve most of the problems that we have, all these medical problems, with vitamins and supplements, as opposed to taking the drugs that these people feed us that only make us sicker. Yeah, they may... It's like a Band-Aid in one area. You start to feel a little better in the area you're complaining about, but other problems arise. You lose your liver, or you lose this or that. But anyway, generally speaking, the point I'm making, well, I guess the point is obvious. Restitution to the American people. A true constitutional government, going back to a republic. And we will be filing a lot of papers in the courts in those days, any places that would be problematic. But we are depending on people, you know. Look, we can only do so much. Our big battle has been in the federal courts. As the federal courts go, you know, if we take control of the federal courts, then we will have control of the lower courts, the state courts. And because, again, we can always bring them into federal court for cause when they violate the Constitution, any kind of a violation on the Constitution. But, you know, we put together a course, and it's under Education Starts Here. It's called Court Access in the Common Law. This course was a live course. I'm sure most of us know, but if we've got new people with us, they're not aware of this, maybe. We go to the table of contents, for instance, and these are all recorded. I think like 90-some-odd hours, you go through this, you will be able to access the courts. You'll understand how the court system works, both on the federal and state level. You understand strategies. You understand the rules of the court, which is the rules of common law, not the federal rules of civil procedure or the state rules that they have. All that is unconstitutional, unlawful. It's anti-justice, ultimately. But we've covered... you know, really, well, this gives you, access to the courts. It gives you an understanding of due process, how it works, lots of strategies, different memorandums, just lots of things. And anybody that hasn't taken this course, and you might want to get some little taste of it. Let me see where this is at. There is a video we put up here. Maybe it's at the bottom of this, or maybe just on the page where you sign up. Okay, yeah, we also put together a lot of YouTube courses. You can find a lot of courses on, you know, how to use Microsoft Word. You really need to be able to know how to use that to write good court cases. PowerPoints is very important to understand and be able to use, you know, when you go into a court to lay out your case. PowerPoints are very, very powerful. But going back to signing up for court access in the common law, we do put a video out here, our first session, right here, Introduction to the Common Law course. And this is the first 3.5 hours of our course right here, so people could listen in to see how that goes. But anyway, what we do need is as many people on a grassroots level to take this course and work together with us. And at some point in time, we'll have meetings, particularly for the judiciary and the judicial problems, the problems within the states, and so on and so forth. and assist people in writing papers and taking back from every point we can to shut down town courts, city courts, village courts, to bring county courts back under subjection to the Constitution, and to get rid of all these judges that are really destructive and really don't bring justice at all. And we also have a plan to take out the Bar Association. We're going to take that into courts. We're probably going to sue the Bar Association at the same time. They're guilty of treason. They are the worst violators. They're the minions of the New World Order. It was through the Bar Association, the bar attorneys, going all the way back to 1750, before we were even a nation. They were already destroying our judicial process here in America. And, you know, so these people, they have destroyed our economy, they've destroyed our education, they've destroyed our political process, our judicial process. They've destroyed any great institution out there that was really pushing forward for freedom. They've taken over many different institutions that at one time had a good focus and a good cause to bring us back under the Constitution. And they've been destructive, nothing but destruction. But I do believe the day of justice is extremely close. And we've been waiting for quite some time, many of us, watching, seeing what's going on. I remember hoping, you know, when Trump lost within the first year that something would happen. It didn't. The second year, it didn't. The third year, we're in it now, and doesn't look like it's going to happen this year. But clearly before the next election, it will happen. And we'll see how that goes. And none of us really know the full plan. We just get little bits and pieces. And again, that's where looking into devolution, seeing what Q had to say and the different individuals that were bringing forward the different things that Q was saying, the Anons. So time of justice is coming. I think it's close, very close. And we need to be ready for it. And as a matter of fact, that brings me just to something. I'm going to take liberty to speak a little bit about something, then we'll go on to the next question. And that was, you know, we don't have enough volunteers. We have 100 and, let me see what we have here. I think it's 163 or something like that. 166 county organizers. That means that there is 166 county committees of safety in process of being birthed, of growing. Some of them are active and moving along. Some of them are still in their infancy and trying to really organize and get people together. Matter of fact, we're going to have a special meeting, which I'm going to talk a little more about that after the rest of the questions. Next week, we're going to have a special meeting for county committees of safety's organizers, and everyone within any county committee of safety is welcome to come. The more, the better. And of course, all of our membership. We should all be involved in our county committees of safety. That's the only way we're going to save America, the only way we're going to save this republic. There is no other way. Government by consent. And the problem is that people don't know how to have government by consent. I've been getting some information, feedback, that some of the committees of safety are going into oddball directions and not following the protocol. And that's why next week's meeting is going to be so important. We will record it. It'll be recorded in video, and we'll put it up on our website. But they've been going different directions and not following the protocol. And I want to make the case next week on how important to follow the protocol is. And, you know, first order of business is communication and education. That's the first order of business. Without that, you have nothing. And I see what some people are doing. They're acting in ignorance, and there's nothing more dangerous than ignorance in action. They're going to get themselves in trouble or just cause more chaos or solve nothing, just waste their time and spin their wheels. I'd like to try to prevent that. Of course, National Liberty Alliance has a hands-off attitude towards the county committees of safety, but we should still hope that they see that we're here for the purpose of educating them, to help them communicate between each other, to organize and to assist them in any way, to educate them in the court system, as I just mentioned, going through this course, an extremely important course, to develop the different subcommittees within each county in order to deal with all the specific problems. But anyway, you know, committee correspondence, which is the individual makes contact, puts the name up there, is the beginning of that, to make communications between us and them and other committees of safety. You know, committees of safety have to work together, county to county, state to state. And we have to discuss different ideas to try to get do the best we can to get on the same page, or at least offer two or three different solutions. And people can take different directions on that, but at least we're focusing into some degree on some kind of a plan that makes sense and really brings us to a way that we can really organize and get some success in whatever it is we're trying to do. You know, after just starting to put your committees of safety together and you work out the program, connecting with your sheriff, getting educated as you go on. You know, one of the big things, most important things in my, I believe, is dealing with our school problems. Our children are being destroyed. We have to save our children. And we have a plan for that. But it requires the committees of safety to focus in and get involved in this plan. And, you know, by going down to take care of the school problem, which we're going to explain it next week, and we have explained this a little in the past, when we deal with the school problem, you're going to grow your committees of safety unbelievably. Every time you go into a school district, I forget how many school districts, I was looking into this today, that we have here in my county, Dutchess County, and there's something like about 25 or so, or 20 school districts. And that's just on grades 1 through 12. You know, we have maybe about 10 universities and colleges in this county. So when you put all that together and you start a campaign visiting these school boards and bringing them back under the control, and we have a process and a procedure how we can do that and force them to be obedient through the court system. Again, if you don't know the law, you're not going to have liberty. You can't do this without understanding the Constitution, understanding the powers and the authorities of the people, understanding due process, how it works, and how you can go through the courts and bring these people into subjection with law that they've written for themselves a long, long time ago. And we can use those laws to control these people. They were good laws. And those laws, of course, apply to them and not to us. That's called equity. But every time you go to a school district, and you pull together, and we have a plan on how we'll do this. I'm not going to get into too much detail, but you'll pull maybe, who knows, 50, 100 people every time you go into that district, plus your own membership. Those people will join up when they see what's going on and what you're doing and the power that you have to bring government back into subjection, to bring the school boards back into subjection of the people, to bring town boards and the counties back into subjection of the people, to control your representative, your congressman. And all the things, the powers and the authorities of the people, this is called government by consent. And the people don't know how to have government by consent. Our founding fathers taught us that. And that's what we teach here at National Liberty Alliance, of course. So anyway, every time you visit a school board, you're going to pick up huge membership. I'm convinced of that, no doubt about it. By the time you get through all the schools, you'll already be developing other subcommittees dealing with other problems and situations. You have the political committee, the judicial committee, and many, many other committees. Before you know it, you'll have many hundreds, if not 1,000 people, if you follow the within a year or so, depending on how active you are. There's a protocol. There's a plan. The unfortunate thing is some people have seized control of these committees of safety. And people unwittingly, not realizing it, because they don't know the plan, this person or people bring the plan, and then they take it a different direction. They go off the plan. If we're not working together, if we're not on the same page, if we are not united, we shall fail and fall. So it's up to the people to do what has to be done. We can only offer things and educate people. Now, we do need people to assist us to make contact with these people. We haven't been doing a very good job with that. We need people who are actually going to get together and make some phone calls. We have a list of all these people. We know who each and every one of them are. We have their phone numbers. And we should be calling them up, having to see how we can assist them in what ways, getting them a list of all the people within their counties, the surrounding counties, all the people within their state, getting them a list of the names and phone numbers of what counties they're in. Because they should also be working outside of their own counties with sister county saying, hey, get the committee of safety, come to our meeting, see what we're doing. We'll help you get one started in your county too. Because united we stand and divided we shall fall. So we need to be doing these things. And unfortunately, a lot of people are sitting on their hands. And after a while, you get those people who are doing the work, they get a little frustrated. But as for me and many people here with NLA, we're not going to get that frustrated. We're going to stop. We're going to keep going. But it's up to the people to step up. It's up to the people to do something. Only you can save America. Only you can save this republic. But that requires work. Couple of dollars maybe to help NLA, $5 a month, no big deal, more if you're capable. Getting together and supporting your own committees of safety in your own county, getting involved, joining up, and getting an education, because ignorance is dangerous. There's nothing more dangerous than ignorance and action, and you're not going to solve any local problems or any political problems or any judicial problems if you're ignorant to the process, the procedures, and how things work and how they're structured. We teach all that, all under our education, of which most of it is free right here. You know, you come down to our courses, foundation study, absolutely important to go. And all it is in that one is just videos. Just watch some videos. It's a primer for an education. We have a constitutional course, Introduction to the Constitution, or Constitutional 101. Okay, gives it a basic, introduction to the Constitution. We have a free civics course, a powerful, powerful civics course. You want to know how this country got to where it's at? You'll learn about that in this civics course. It will teach you. It's filled with a lot of videos. Most of the videos is Griffin's, Ed Griffin's videos. He's done about 20 of them, if not more, and we've got all of them. And he's been doing this since 1959, and he has documented exactly how these people done what they did to bring us to the brink of destruction where we are today. We have a government by consent course. Now that one there, we do ask for people to be a premier member. A premier member is someone given $5 a month or more. And if someone's that poor and they can't afford the $5, we'll let you in for free anyway. Because look, we're all about education. We're not here to make money. We need money to keep the lights on. But we're here to educate the people because we want to save America. We have a free militia course. And then we have a jury administrator's accredited course. Anybody that's pursuing that course, again, needs to be a premier member. And so those people are planning to go to become jury administrators, which means we take control, which is the way it's supposed to be. Go back into history. The people control the juries, the grand juries and trial juries. The people orientated the juries. Right now, they're orientated by the Bar Association. So where do you think that's going to get us? You see, we have major problems, but people need to step up. They need to set aside their fear if that's what's preventing them from going forward. Or find some time if they think they're too busy. Give up some texting and some tweeting and all that other stuff. Whatever it is you got to do, you should be putting in an hour or two a week into helping this nation come back to where it belongs, to save this republic. Go to a meeting, your meetings once a month. Come to our meetings. Listen to our meetings if you can't come here. We've got, you go up to our welcome, Monday Night Call page, okay? If you don't make it to a Monday night meeting, you can listen to them. You download it, put it on your phone, and listen to it as an MP3. It's 2 hours a week. I think people can... Maybe while you're driving, heading to work, or whatever the case may be, you can put it on and listen to see what's going on. And we have so much more. So much more. We have a higher education beyond the education warfaring as a standard. But then we have a higher education right underneath the education starts here tab. And, of course, the Building Committee for Safety. We've written 7, 8, or 9 books, maybe 10. I don't remember how many books we've written for the sole purpose of instructional handbooks to bring them through the different processes, creating committees of safety, becoming the true committee man, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it's up to the people to do this. And NLA is taking a point, and we will be hitting the courts hard. We'll be hitting the courts running the day they all collapse, and pressing in the federal courts, pushing down to the state courts. But we sure can use some help. We really can. As I mentioned, we need people that can volunteer a little time to make some calls during the week to get in contact with these different committees of safeties, and offer them all kinds of tools that we have, information. Keep them on the proper path to learn government by consent, to do it properly, and to be able to take back control. We will show you how to take control of school boards. We'll show you how to take control of town boards and how you can fire them and get rid of them in 10 days and seize their office, and you can take control of their system until the next election or appointment or whatever system is set up for that. But the people have to be willing to do it. It's up to you to save America. No one person can do it. And if you're waiting on Trump to do this with, you know, bringing in the military and so on and so forth, well, that's fine. Yeah, they can seize control. They can bring things back. But they won't do it perfectly. The people got to be involved. But besides that, if the people don't step up and take that power, you know, Trump said in his inauguration speech going back some years ago, he said, you know, I'm not here to take power. I'm here to give it back to the people. But the people can't handle it. They don't know how to have government by consent. I didn't know how to have government by consent until we did the research. And we fell upon all this knowledge. We have the knowledge. We know our founding fathers did it. We need to do what our founding fathers did. And that's what we teach here. And people need to get involved. Next week is going to be a very, very important meeting. I do expect any leadership of National Liberty Alliance to be at that meeting. All leadership should be there. I'd love to see all members there, but all members are not going to be here. But at least the ones that have been active, you guys need to be here. Okay? We need to be part, and we need to get as many of the committees, county committees of safety leadership, into this meeting and bring them back on the proper path that they need to be, to give them the necessary tools to win the battle, to win our republic back. It starts on the grassroots level. It cannot be a top-down thing. NLA cannot save America. NLA can only give the people the tools, the knowledge, and everything necessary to communicate and work together. The people on the grassroots level, they have to do it. So, and if you're not getting involved, well, if enough of you don't get involved, we're going to lose America. Next question, Jen.
Okay, the question is, I heard President Trump at a recent rally speak about reforming agencies such as the Department of Justice and the FBI. After seeing all the damage done and talking to a lot of people, most seem to agree that reforming is not the solution, but disbanding, which would be on the aspects of shrinking the size of government and saving a lot of money in the process at the very least. Most people would also agree that they cannot cite anywhere in the Constitution the warranting and authorization of such agencies that violate the very document of our rights. What is NLA's regards to this matter?
Well, I'll tell you what. If you shut down the Bar Association, put most of those people in jail, or maybe some of them at the end of a rope, and you get rid of all these bar judges, which is pretty much all of them almost, you know, you get rid of all those, that's a good beginning, okay? The Department of Justice is filled with bar attorneys. That's what they are, all bar attorneys. The whole system is rotted from the core. And anybody that's been going through our courses can see it clearly. We have a serious problem in our judicial system. We have rules that are repugnant to the Constitution, repugnant to the common law, repugnant to any common sense whatsoever. We have to fix that problem, bring back the rules of the common law. We have rules that have totally annihilated the common law, so they think anyway. They can't really do it. They did it in words, and they put it up on paper, and they did it through a rule, rule number two. They abrogated the common law. As long as the people believe they've done that, then you're under civil law, and how's that going for us right now? We have a problem. We need to fix this. But knowledge is the way to fix it. You need to understand the difference between the two and how they got there. And again, a civics course will teach you how they got there, and our court access in the common law course, that'll teach you how to take it from here. And by the way, that's the only course we really charge money for. It's $125 to take the course. But you'll have a better education than any lawyer when you get through that course. You'll have full knowledge of the common law, at least the beginning of the knowledge of common law. Common law is really common sense. It's very simple, really. But you'll have the constitutional knowledge, and the key knowledge you really get is due process, how the court system works, how to file papers, how to write papers, how to put it together, what's necessary, what's not necessary, how to follow up, how to push for discovery, and do all these things to go through that whole process. And every single person should know that. If you're an American, you should know that. We need to get this into the schools. Our children should learn this from the lower grades, maybe fourth, fifth grade. We should start teaching them that. By the time a child gets out of school, they should know how to handle a weapon, how to drive a vehicle, and most importantly, how to have government by consent. They need to be able to represent them, take them to go into the courts and take care of their own business. They shouldn't have to need a lawyer. People can always get a counselor as help, a second chair, whatever you want to call it. But you need to take care of your own business. Nobody knows your case better than you. Nobody knows what is needed more than you do. And don't trust these people because they're evil. The Bar Association has got to go. So that's going to get rid of a lot of problems, especially in the Department of Justice and the FBI. There's a lot of lawyers in the FBI. We have to take out, of course, and Trump already knows this. I don't know that I have to really say specifically what needs to be done. I think Trump is going to do it. But basically, we need to take the head out, need to take the leadership out. I think we can find, look, at I have met with a lot of FBI agents. I've met with people from even the Department of Treasury. And generally speaking, they're pretty decent people, generally speaking. Not all of them. Some of them are real evil. There's no doubt about that. But I guess, you know, I've been kind of lucky or blessed that we haven't really had the evil ones. Everyone that's come out to deal, to talk to me, has left saying, well, they don't really see a problem here, and closed the case and left. And that was that. You know, you can't argue with founding documents. You can't argue with statements that our founding fathers said that brought us to who we are as a people today. And that's how I dealt with these people, really. They asked me, did you write this? And I said, well, not really. I said, that was written by Thomas Jefferson. Take a look at the footnote. I said, I don't write those things. George Washington did. Thomas Jefferson, Franklin, Adams, Madison, you know, or other founding fathers or Supreme Court justices. They wrote those things. I just put them together. This is where we need to get back to. You know, and I got agreement from these people. So the thing is, it's really the leadership. But I do know that they've got a whole bunch of people coming together to work for the IRS. They'll be given badges. They'll be coming out as agents, federal agents, and blah, 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 blah. Those are the Obama children. I don't know if people remember that. Go back 10 years. And see the Obama children in school. We've put videos up on that on YouTube. They took them down, I think, by now. A lot of our stuff on YouTube has been taken down. But in any event, they've been raising children for quite some time, and these children are now adults. And they're going to give them weapons and send them out to collect money with you because you owe taxes, whether you owe them or not, they're coming out after you. So, by you know, people sometimes think they're safer sitting back and kind of hiding. There is no place to hide. At the end of the day, you're going to be gotten just like anyone else if they were to succeed. The only hope we have is for all of us to step up in one accord and do what we have to do. Let's take this nation back. And I think we're in a great position right now. I don't see why anybody who's paying attention, I don't know why they would even fear them winning because they've already lost. Just pay attention to what's really... And if you don't know, way to go. I mean, Gerard talks about this stuff all the time. He's got a program, goes off and talks about these different details. He comes here last week. He spoke about a lot of this stuff, different things, different problems. But you can go out, and we have a page here. For some reason, I'm not seeing it right at the moment. Not sure why. I don't remember where I put it, I guess. But we have a page here of news. Well, it should be under news. Let's see. Directory, today's issues. Well, down in here somewhere, you'll find a page where we have different people that I know I listen to, X22. You know, they've got a lot of good information. SGNN, a lot of great information. Christian Patriot, a lot of good information. Gerard runs a soapbox. He'll pipe out the name of that. I forget. Well, I got it up here anyway, somewhere. But anyway, there's a lot of good information there. Find out what's going on. Get the details. Okay, it's Patriot Soapbox News Network. So the news is out there, the truth is out there, and truth is self-evident. Trust that. That's a biblical principle, by the way. It's a common law principle. It's the principle our entire Constitution is built upon. All these truths are self-evident. Just sit and listen. Look for the contradictions. You find enough contradictions, you say, well, I ain't got truth here. Time to move somewhere else. It's that simple. Doesn't get any more difficult than that. Just pay attention. Okay, did I answer the question? Where are we at, Dan?
The next question is, does NLA still have a good relationship with Brent Winters? I have not heard him on the Monday night call for quite some time.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard from Brent in a while. I haven't spoken with him personally in a while. I was going to his courses, but I got so busy with things that I was doing, I stopped going to his courses for a while, too, and I don't know why he hasn't been here. So I don't know. Nothing negative on our side, anyway. Brent Winters has really brought a lot of good stuff to us, and I know he's been busy, too, doing courses and still writing. You'll have to ask Brent.
Okay, next question. Previously, you had spoken about some type of meeting or education for leaders of committees of safety. I was wondering if this was set up yet. I haven't seen any new information on the website as of yet.
Okay, yeah, I sent out an email a couple of days ago, and there'll be a follow-up email going out probably Friday. And I'm sure, Jan, you'll put it into the newsletter concerning a special meeting with the Committees of Safety will be next Monday night, discussing national issues, particularly, and the importance of connecting with NLA. Look, a lot of these people that are in the Committees of Safety, I'm afraid to say, don't even know about National Liberty Alliance. Someone brought something to them, they look at it, they're not really pushing the education to come here to get educated. So they're not pushing an education. And whatever they're doing, they're going to fail without an education. And if they can get an education somewhere else, I don't know. I'm not aware of any other place you can get the education that we give. I like to say that we have what's called a proper education, which is a Jefferson education. As I always say that from time to time. But if we don't have a proper education, you're not going to save the republic. The only education available out there concerning any of these things ultimately are let out by bar attorneys. And if you're going to continue to trust them, then, look at research. We've done lots of research, and all of our research is right here. We give any paper we write, anything we do, we're full with footnotes. The books are written here. Government by Consent, there's a book right here. Right here is a book right here. Maxed Out Pages, the hardcover book, 8.5 by 11, so it's a large book. You can get books bigger than that, but generally speaking, it's one of the biggest. 8.5 by 11, 550 or so pages, which it maxes out. And this will teach you almost everything we know here. Actually, the website has more. A lot more. But as far as putting government by consent and getting the information for people out, that's the book. The other book is called Access in the Common Law. And these books are only $39 a piece, $39.95, I think, so $40 a piece. People writing books, they're 8.5 by 11, hardcover, with the kind of information on law, you're going to go out and you're going to waste your money on it, in my opinion. You're going to spend $200-$300 for those books. I don't know why they charge so much. We're making money at $40 a piece, so we're making money to be able to help support the movement here. But those are two books right there that people can get the necessary knowledge. And the courses, of course, the course is much more superior than the book called Access in the Common Law. It does somewhat follow, all the information in the Common Law, Court Access in the Common Law book is in the course and vice versa, but I think we have more in the course because, you're always growing and you have new information, new strategies, updated papers. I mean, every time you move along, you learn something new, you make something better, and of course then you put that stuff out. So I'd like to go back and go through these two books if I had time and update them, and maybe one day I will. But in any event, the court access is put together, court access in the common law course is put together differently because, I had to teach it. And then I had to structure it and think about it, so there's some restructuring, but there's always references going back to the court access in the common law book also. So, did I get that whole question answered?
Yeah. That was the last question, John.
Okay. By the way, the queue is open. I only saw one person in there, so if anybody has a question, comment, or correction, or anything to offer, by all means, jump in. And we are looking for volunteers. We need them desperately. We need to go professional. We speak about this from time to time. We need to pay the people doing the work. Of course, then they're going to do the work and they'll put 40 hours a week in because it'll be a paid position. So we are looking for money. And some point in time, I trust that we will get that money because this cannot succeed what we're doing, especially when things get going. Hopefully, again, people will connect and get their committees of safety built and constructed properly and structured right. So, remember, we gotta have the same structure at every county so we can work together. We have to be on the same page, okay? May have different ways to solve the problems. That's okay. You have two or three or four or five ways to solve a problem. That's good. Everybody can make their choice on which one works. People can report, hey, I tried this one, tried that one, but this one really works. And, that's how we're going to succeed, back and forth. But anyway, we need help. And we will eventually go, professional and people will be paid. We have a lot of plans for a lot more to do with NLA, especially when it comes to the political process and the judicial process, which is the two structural, those are the two controls of our nation, of our country. You want to control this country, it's not so much the money, of course, that plays a role because, they count on really paying people off and finding your price kind of thing. But really, and they hide this to some degree, you got to control the political process and you've got to control most definitely the judicial process. And as long as you control those two things, that is key. And if you bring the money into that, you control all three, that's it, game over. We're at that point, game is over. Matter of fact, if we didn't have a Trump coming up and a plan going on, it would be over for us. So, all right, that's it, Jen?
Yes, that's everything, John.
Okay. All right, anyway, we do have the queue open. Anybody coming in on the phone is a *6 and a 1, and you'll be able to get into the queue. Anyone else coming in on a browser or a app, you should be a button to enter the queue. So we're taking questions. Again, there's only one person in the queue, so we're looking for conversation. All right, we have a wireless caller, 312 area. You got the mic. What's on your mind? I think we just lost that person. I unmuted them. Okay, well, got Thomas in there, so let's take Thomas. You got it. Whoever was in the queue before, you can get back in. I don't know, you dropped out. Tom, go right ahead. How you doing, Thomas?
Excellent, John. Thanks. Thanks for your presentation. So I don't know if we should do it now or next week, but we've been very active here in Loudoun County Committee of Safety. And as you know, there's a tremendous history here of Virginia being the first colony and us modeling ourselves after not only the government by consent model, but also what was done here in Loudoun in 1774 and 1775. Mr. Lee of Leesburg, Virginia, where I own property, was one of the signers of the Declaration. So I just wanted to let you know that we're growing our group, and we've done a lot. We've had to do a lot of political maneuvering outside of the Loudoun County Republican Committee because they are completely hostile to, truth-based truth-based.
You're also a threat to them in what they're doing. You're taking control of something they want control of.
100%. And we will take control of our Republican Rhino Party here. It's going quite well, actually. But, you know, it's tough sledding, and it's going to take a while. But we're ready to go to court again against the Loudoun County Electoral Board and Registrar's Office. We're in the process of rewriting and refiling a non-suit that we did last year. And we've now organized at the state level where we have voter roll data, and we're actually really digging in quite deeply into the electoral maladministration and malfeasance that's going on here and everywhere. So I just wanted to encourage you and your team that, you know, we're going to be adding about 5 more members at our next meeting. And these people are, you know, I don't know if you heard of the guy whose daughter was raped in Loudoun County.
No.
He's now just announced that he's suing Loudoun County Board of Education for $30 million. Mm-hmm. And his daughter was raped by a skirt-wearing transvestite in her high school.
I hear of a case. I don't know if it's...
Yeah, so that guy is joining our group, a gentleman who started the Patriot Pubs by the name of John Tigas. They've both been arrested against their First Amendment rights. So we're doing a lot of 2A stuff. We have some property that we're looking at, and we're doing some things with some of the well-trained individuals in our county who are in charge of security at our church and at a new school in Middleburg, Virginia. So anyway, we're not to go too far into detail or to toot our own horn, but I agree with your assessment that you need to get educated, you need to read the book, you need to look at the court access and the common law, both books which I've owned. I've given away 3 cases of your government by consent book to people, and I test them on it. Our charter has been rewritten. We have a very vibrant, what I would say, active group. One last thing is... myself and another 2 of my cohorts in the Loudoun Committee of Safety made it to the Loudoun Love Warrior kill list, which is a bunch of left-wing wing nuts that put out a list of people that they're doxing and exposing and, you know, trying to intimidate and those kinds of things. So a couple of us on our Loudoun Committee of Safety made it onto that list, which we consider a badge of courage.
Mm-hmm. All right. Appreciate that. And I know you and I have been talking over the past year or so, off and on, and appreciate the work that you're doing and the growth that you got going out there. And I should hope all of the committees of safety. And again, this is another reason why committees of safety have to come together maybe once a month. And we're going to try to do this once a month, focus in on our Monday night meeting just for committees of safety, which is for everyone anyway. You know, but I mean, really focus in on a special issue, a national issue or something. But we also need people who are building committees of safety to give some success stories and give some ideas and thoughts. And we need to be exchanging what works and what doesn't work between the different committees of safety. You know, National Liberty Alliance is very sensitive and very much aware of what national groups can do to take control. And we have no intentions of doing that. I mean, if you look at a site and everything we do, we're hands-off. We just want to educate. And I want to focus in on my own committee of safety in my county. That's why I want to put my attention. But we're here to educate, to inform, to have a venue, a place where we can come to meet, to discuss issues and ideas and what works and what doesn't work, you know, to lift each other up. So we get that education. We get that communications. And we work together to help organize, to get the organization going, and working county to county. But each county must always be free and independent. They got to be completely on their own, and they got to make their own decisions. We can only give them ideas. They need to run with them or come up with better ideas and then share those ideas with others to run with that idea. So I've been in the movement for quite some time, and I've seen how the Tea Party was totally hijacked. I mean, all of a sudden some group came up, claimed to be the leadership, and they had money and lawyers and everything else, and that's it. Down the toilet that went. That all fell apart. And I've watched movements and different things for many, many years. It's always on a national level, someone gets up, takes control, and so on. And so if that's the fear of the people, well, look at it. If NLA starts to take control, it's time to leave NLA. It's that simple. We can't tell people what to do. We can only inform them and educate them and help them work together. That's all we can do. And then, of course, we all work on our own counties. So, all right, Tom, I appreciate the info and hope to see you next week. And people should be inviting from the committees of safety, everyone in the committees of safety to join. They should all be coming out to NLA to get an education. Every single person joining the committees of safety. They should get out here and get our handbooks and start reading them and working together to be able to form a better organization within their counties. You know, we have the handbooks here, and I go through this often, but we have, you know, the Committee of Safety Charter. We've already written that up, put it together. It's a framework structure. You have to add to that, but we got the structure there. We're all on the same page. You know, we have the committee man handbook, which deals with the political side of process, but we have also the Committee of Safety Organizing Handbook, which is a step-by-step process of how to create the Committee of Safety, what to do first, second, third, fourth. You know, you got to get your resolution going. We have a copy of a framework of a resolution. Each county has to add to their own what they think they need to put, and they'll be doing that over the years. They'll be updating their resolutions and updating their charters. You have to make your connection with the lawyer. We have the Committee of Safety Vow. We have a common law handbook. We have elected officials handbook. We have also a strategy on how to deal with people who want to run for office. You know, but we need to discuss these things and get these ideas out there. And people have other ideas. They need to get those ideas out there. And we need to work together as best we can. We need to know the national issues at some point, because right now we have to really work on our schools, get structured up. I mean, first 6 months to a year, you know, we really have to be focused in on organizing, structuring, and building up our membership and taking our schools back and preparing to take the court systems back and the political process back. Those are the most important parts. And that's what we teach in the handbook. You know, this is what we have to do. But there are a lot of other committees that have to be created. Okay? And many hands make light work. You know, you get 200-300 people and 5, 6, 7 people on each committee. You got a whole bunch of committees going on. And you get a whole bunch of work done. And take back control of all of the different government agencies from the village all the way up to the presidency. But the people have to do that. You know, we have a grand jury handbook. Needs to get into the hands of every single grand jurist. That's how we have to orientate them. We have a pettit handbook. We have a sheriff's common law handbook. We've got so much going on. And we are also offering free any sheriff or any deputy, and we're going to start writing to different ones because we have a few states that all of the sheriffs got books, government by consent books already. And so we're going to, and this is open right now, any sheriff and their deputy, they can come online and they can sign up and we'll give them free access into the court access in the common law. They need to know the law. They need to know due process. They need to understand the Constitution and the structure and the Declaration of Independence, the foundation of our law. They need to know what common law really is and the difference between law and equity. If they don't know these things, they cannot be our sheriff. And unfortunately, most of them do not know these things. I'd say 99% or better don't know these things, and that's a problem. You know, we need our sheriffs. And I'm working on a campaign. I'm starting in New York to get in touch with all the sheriffs, offering them a free course in my state alone. And we'll do this in other states too, of course. Anybody that wants to work with me to make sure the sheriffs in their state gets books, every sheriff, then once they get the books, then we will approach them and help them and educate them and talk with them a little bit about some of the problems, but they can't really understand the problems without first getting educated. We've had conversations with sheriffs that were not educated. They don't understand the problem. They don't understand the common law. They don't understand the structure. They don't know how things work. They have to rely on a bar attorney, the county attorney. And it's a mess. Now you get them educated, you talk to them, it's a whole different story. Yeah, I know, this is what we need to do, but I'm only one person, you know. You know, I got someone. I need someone to watch my back. They need a committee of safety. They need the sheriff next door doing the same thing. They got to get together, three or four sheriffs together, to kick the feds out or whatever they have to do. Take back here in New York. We have a major problem in New York with gun control. Major, major problem. You know, if you just go buy ammunition right now, they're going to do a background check. And it could take up to 18 months to get that background check, even though you've got a permit already. They want to take total control on the state level. And that's where we're at right now. I'm going into conversation, hopefully soon, with my sheriff to discuss these issues. What's he going to do when they try to take my gun? What's he going to do if they give me a hard time? You going to come out and protect me? You know, our sheriff passed, so we have a new sheriff, but I heard he's pretty much like the old sheriff. So I'm going to find out, and you should find out. You need your sheriff. You need a fully informed sheriff. They're the last course of protection, last line of defense, I guess it's put. Okay, let's take our next caller. Thanks, Tom. We got Anthony. You got the mic. Go right ahead, Anthony. From West Virginia, looks like.
Hey, Anthony here. How you doing, John?
Good.
Just, I don't really have a question. I'm just checking in. I listened to the call last week. You weren't there, and it was very good call. And I agree 100%. We would need it would be great if we had a meeting of the committees of safety, maybe once a week or even once a month.
Yeah, once a month. And we'll have the weekly Monday night programs here, which will always be here at any time. People can bring questions or ideas or thoughts from the committees and say, they should be coming to our meetings on a regular basis anyway, as much as they can. I look through it offline, but we're going to have 1 month. I'm going to try to push forward 1 month, one meeting a month, which is focusing specifically on the work of the committees of safety, and I'm hoping to get that going next week. I mean, putting
that's
the work.
Great.
And,
good news.
As many people as possible.
Working slow. Started going to the city council meetings a month ago, and I'm trying to make all of the education, Department of Education meetings, anything that has to do with the city.
Mm-hmm.
We have a sanitary board here. The sanitary board collects $29 and some odd cents every month for somebody who has a water water meter. Do you guys have anything like that in New York?
Well, not that I know of down in New York City. I mean, I was born and raised. I never saw anything like that.
I've never seen anything like that until I moved here about 13 years ago.
Yeah, well, I'm upstate.
They call it the sanitary board.
Yeah, I'm upstate New York, and we have a water treatment plant. And in certain towns, I know the town I'm in has we're connected to a water treatment plant that comes out of the river, Hudson River. We're above the Salt Point, so we can get water out of the river. It just needs to be treated. So they've been treating it, and they do charge for the water, but it's pretty cheap. It's not expensive.
Well, that's a blessing.
Nevertheless, we do pay up here. Down in New York City, the people don't pay for water down there, but they probably pay through the nose through other taxes.
When I was in this little town, Clyde Park, Montana, I finally sold my house last year. When I first bought my house, the water was free. Everybody had water, running water. But as I got there, I didn't realize until I went to a couple of city council meetings, they're not really a city, but town meetings, that they were already in the process of getting a loan to do their entire water system. And it was costing me, at the end, it was costing me almost $60 a month for water, whether I had my water turned on or not, because that's the way they wrote the deal with the people who gave them the loan. So anybody that had a water meter, whether they used the water or not, had to pay the $60 a month. And the price just kept going up. I tried to get the people to stop it, but it was too late by the time I got there. It was already in motion too far. This town here that I'm in now, I just went to the city council meeting. What are they talking about? They're talking about the same thing. Well, we turned down a loan. Well, I'm certainly glad they turned it down. But if they've got a what they call a sanitary board, they're collecting money that's supposed to be put into that system. I asked the lady when I paid her the money, because I have a couple of pieces of property here now, and when I paid her the money for that, I said, what do they do with the money? She shrugs her shoulders like I'm the first one that ever asked her that. Can you believe it?
What do they do
with the money? I don't know. I said, you work for the city? Yeah, I work for the city. You know, it's crazy what's going out there. We've got to take control.
They don't have an answer. That's one of the big problems. But look, at electric, water, and sewer, that should all be free. That could be covered.
That's exactly right. Just like Tesla had wanted it for us. But look what happened to him.
The legal taxes that they collect is more than sufficient to be able to provide all the services necessary for the people free of charge. Our court systems should be free access. After all, we pay for the buildings, we pay for all the buildings, we pay for salaries for the judges. We pay for everything. And then we come into the courts and they want to charge us $400, whatever it is. I know on the federal level it's $400 and the state level here is $310. And then they hit you up every time you do a certain move on the process. They hit you another $35-$40 here and there. And it goes on and on. I mean, this is all unnecessary, you know. And again, we know that people don't realize. I think a lot more people are starting to realize it.
They're starting to wake up. We just got to keep doing it.
Income tax doesn't pay for anything that we need. It pays really for foreign wars and all kinds of problems. The tax on your property. I mean, after all, if you have to pay taxes every year and you don't pay it and you take it away from you, then you don't own that property, do you?
You don't own the property. You don't.
So, look, at all this is going to be corrected on the other side of devolution. The question is, can we keep it? You see, if the people can't take control of it, it's only a matter of time before we're back right where we started. It's just going to be right. We'll be right back again. You know, the hearts of men are desperately wicked. Who could know it? And so you get people who have no self-control, were never brought up with any morals or scruples, or whatever the case may be in their background, but whatever it is, okay, let me tell you something, a lot of evil intentions, and they don't care about you, they don't care about your children, they don't care about nothing but themselves. But evil is here, and it's going to rise up again if we don't finally snuff it out and take control and prevent it from ever happening again. If we would have followed the course our founding fathers set us on and maintained that course and that education, and to some degree... really the people's fault, because the government took...
It's been my fault, too. I all I wanted to do was play when I was 20, 25 years old. I didn't pay attention to anything. I just wanted to party and drive my Corvette, you know, and have a great time.
And again, if we're teaching our children and training them up how they should walk when they get older, they will not depart from it. That is a promise from God, and that extends to generally speaking, is morality in itself. Teach your children how to have a weapon, how to drive a vehicle, how to get into the courts, how to take care of their own business, and the importance of a classical education, understanding who we are as a people, what we have, like no other people on earth has had what we here in America have, and the American people don't even know it. And you got all these ignorant kids coming to college that think they know. You know, when you're in school, when you're at that age, you know, look, you think you know everything, you know. But, you know, you get a little older, you start to realize you know nothing, at least some of us. And, you know, that's when you really have to get to know something, then, when you realize you know nothing, you know. But anyway, we got to train up our children how they should walk. And when they get older, they will not depart from it. So they could be a little wild.
That's true.
At some point, they're
there's gonna... another proverb. There's another proverb that says, be not afraid of sudden fear, nor the desolation of the wicked when it cometh.
And
I'm waiting for that day. I'd love to be able to see that day. I pray the Lord lets me see that day where the desolation of the wicked is I'm afraid it may only happen at the end of Armageddon when everything turns back to God. I hope that's not it. I pray that we get a reprieve like they did in Nineveh, and that we have a few generations of being able to live in righteousness. And when the righteous rule, the people rejoice.
Look, it is coming. They're not going to repent, though. They're not going to hear it. They're too far gone. But in any event, look, the Bible is clear, from my opinion, in Isaiah 14.
It is very clear. Absolutely.
The judgment of nations must take place before the world ends. And we're coming up to that judgment of nations. We're coming to that point when Leviathan will be judged. You can read about that in Isaiah 14. And a Leviathan will be judged. And then at that point, we're very close to the end. Reach out and touch it.
Yepper. Well, I used to think that we were still a godly nation. I used to try and make a case for that, because a lot of people will say that they love God, know God, love God. But I was watching a kind of a different movie yesterday, day before, and it was called Draft Day with Kevin Costner. Anybody see that movie, Draft Day with Kevin Costner? At the end of the movie, they had a helicopter shot coming up from the lower parts of the stadium and then raising up over the stadium and showing a complete full stadium of the Cleveland Browns. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with me? We got 20 people at church and we got a good crowd. I mean, you got 29, 30 people and it's a big crowd. You know, and here you got 50,000, 60,000, how many people, 70,000 people watching a ball game, and they can't go to church. They don't put God first. We have such a field right here. The field is right. We need to spread the gospel. You know, the Great Commission right here in our own backyard. How do we get to these people? You know.
Broad is the path and narrow is the way. Broad is the way.
You bet. Yep, that's right.
That is the way. So, nothing's going to change that. But when the children of God were in control of a nation, which was in the very beginning, we had a lot of great accomplishments. We've lost control. We get back under common law. We start teaching our children common law. That brings us right back to the Bible, because common law is the Bible. And that brings us back to the principles of the Bible. One of the first things that our founding fathers did as far as legislative got together, and the first thing signed into the law by George Washington, was to make the Bible the centerpiece of our education. The people have forgotten.
That's right.
Know about that, but you know, we need to bring that back, because look at that's what saved us, that's what brought us to where we're at. But you know, look at, we don't need all the people to be Christians. People to do in a certain way this or that in order to have control of this nation. You know, we've heard this before. I bring it up from time to time. We don't have government by majority. We have government by the majority that participates. I believe that was Thomas Jefferson quote. So if the children of God do their job and step up to take care of their neighbor by taking care of business in their counties, and now we'll become a Christian nation again. We must return or be lost forever. There's no getting away from
exactly
it.
Right. That, I've been telling people that. What's your number? My number is 9 million. I think if we could gather 9 million, and I call them hardcore Christian people to get involved, to be at the pinnacle offices, that we know that there's going to be honesty in those offices that are being held. That's why I primarily look for the Christians to take those places. What's your number? How many people you think we need?
We need spread upon the 3,000 counties. We need about 300 people per county, and that should be an easy number to get to if we're really doing the job. Mm. Doing things process.
Well, that's a whole lot less.
700,000. Yep. We don't need a lot.
Well, that's my dream number. My dream number is 9 million people.
Let me tell you, this is what I found out, and I've done a lot of research on this, and particularly in New York, but this pretty much in every state anyway. Every county is controlled by four to five individuals, every single county. And every state is controlled by four to five individuals that are controlling those four or five people in every one of those counties. So if you work those numbers up, that's how they control everything. So if you've got five people in a county, we have 62 counties, so we're 310 plus five, 315, 320 people control the state of New York. Politically, completely, 100%. Doesn't matter what the populists do in these committee man processes, which we're the real committee men. We're getting rid of the statutory committee men. They're statutory committee men. But you have 310 people that control the entire state of New York. That's all it takes. Okay, and then they got all of the you know, the workhorses underneath them, and they make them think that yeah, they're getting a chance to make decisions and do good, but they're totally controlled. The sex is in every vote they make. Any vote that I saw took place in my county when I went to a couple of meetings, okay, every single one of them was finalized in the back room. Well, we're going to go in the back room with Kath. Let's get the meeting, keep going. We'll be right back. We'll let you know who put the decision is. And that's the way it works. It's always done in the dark. And they got lots of way to play this game. You know, you have someone show up all of a sudden with all these proxies. And proxies are not permitted in any government anywhere. You know, a federal, if you go into the... legislators, you can't bring a proxy vote in. The vote comes. You've got to be there to take that vote. You're not there. The vote don't go through. And that's the way it needs to be then too. But that's not how it works. And that's how they control us. But yeah, you get a couple hundred people, 300 people in a county, in each county across America. You're less than a million. We can take control of everything. 100% control of our courts, 100% control of a political process. We can kick people out of office through recall, or we can indict them if it's necessary. We can take control. But the people need to know how to do that.
We need to work. We need to work at it. We just need to do work. And I wish I had more time. You know, I can see where I haven't been putting in enough time, but there's so many things to do. You know, you got to fix lunch, you got to fix dinner, you got to wash dishes, you got to do stuff every day.
Yeah,
and then you're depending on people that want to help you. I've been working at recruiting people, and the answers that I get is all you initially call them and everything is great, you know, and they're really enthused about it. And all of a sudden, well, I'm working 12-hour days, you know, and 6 days a week, you know, so you just got to get somebody to break away for an extra hour a month. An extra hour a week, an extra hour a day if they can afford it. But we've got to all force ourselves to do something different and make an effort to do something different or nothing's going to happen.
Well, that's what people need to do. Look, people spend a lot of time tweeting. They're too busy looking at their phones. That's a lot of time that's being robbed of. People spend too much maybe watching TV or going and doing different things. Again, a lot of time wasted. They'll sit down and listen to a radio as they drive to work or whatever. Again, more time wasted. I don't know that there's a moment in my life when I'm not spending time individually with someone directly or with my family. I don't know that there's not a moment in my life that I don't have some kind of an MP3 playing in the background being educated, whether it's in the Bible, whether it's in the common law, meetings and different things, or podcasts. It's unbelievable. I've done a complete study of Mark, which I had done this study a long time ago, but I wanted to revisit it. And I recently revisited it, and I put it on in my car, study of Mark. And it's like, 380 parts to it. They're about 25 minutes apiece. And I'm up to, I just broke the 200 mark, so I'm two-thirds through. And that's just driving in my car, okay? And I put it in my car not even a month ago. Okay, and I'm through two-thirds of this study, which is a huge, big, very powerful study.
Yes.
It's my first real Bible study ever done. I happen to have that on video, on audio. And so, I mean, you can get a lot accomplished just driving around and listening to something.
That's right.
It's a podcast, an NLA meeting, all the studies we have. We have so much. We have the Federalist Papers. I've listened to the Federalist Papers in my car. I've listened to the Federalist Papers twice, and I've listened to the Anti-Federalist Papers once. I'm going to be replaying that after I finish this study on Mark again. And all this stuff is going into your brain, constantly being fed, and you're learning new things. Oh, I didn't hear that before.
Mm-hmm.
You're picking up on something. Okay. I even have the Bible, just the reading of the Bible. I got all that on MP3s also. And so we have the 5,000-year leap on MP3. I've read the book. I've listened to that on tape. We have Thornton's tapes. He's got quite a few tapes. We've got all that on MP3s. We have so much that people could be doing just in mindless times, driving or just kicking back and listening to something worthwhile listening to and growing by.
Exactly. But it has to be done on purpose.
Right. Well, look, at anybody interested in liberty and wants to save the republic, this is what you have to do. Liberty is not free. It costs.
That's right. Well, thank you, John. It's always a pleasure chatting with you. And we'll catch up again next week, and we'll talk again.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Who wants to get into the queue? We got one other person left in the queue. Anybody else wants to get into the queue? And the time to get into it. Asulu, I believe it's pronounced, from Missouri. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hello?
Yep, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, John.
Hi.
This is Sulu from Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask about, the common law trust, if you know anything about where I can look up some information to understand it.
Yeah, I think we have a paper. Let me see it. I think it's under Education Starts Here, under the law. Let me see. Maybe it's Memorandum of Law Dictionary. Court Forms and Processes. It may be there. I do have a paper. It's a book. I didn't write it. It's a sort of a PDF book. I got a hold of it some years back, and I've created trusts using this process. Give me a minute. I'm scrolling to. You're on your computer. You're on a phone. It's underneath.
Yes, I'm on a phone.
Yes, underneath Education Starts Here. Come down to the law, and Court Forms and Process is what it is. Let me see. Control Fine. Let's try Trust. You can trust. I know it's on our website somewhere, but I'm not finding it. If you bring this up next week, I will see if I can't locate it and have it for you. But right now...
Okay. Do you want me to look around on the site? Or?
Yeah, if you want. It should be up there. It should be under Education Starts Here. Let's see if I click on Law and see what happens there. Memorandums, trusts. Okay, let's see. I'll look for it. If you catch me next week, I'll try to find it for next week, and I'll let you know.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Anything else?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, there's nobody else left in the queue, and we have another 29 minutes if anybody's got anything. Star 6 and a 1 if you're on a phone, and of course, there should be a button if you're coming in on a browser or an app. So, all right, anybody in leadership has anything they want to bring up or discuss? Get a conversation going here. Nobody's got anything, huh?
Pretty unusual, huh?
Yeah. Well, I had a time a couple of weeks ago where I didn't have anybody in the queue. So.
Yeah, I saw that. Cynthia Jo was in earlier. She dropped out, and maybe she'd come back.
Well, yeah, I think I saw Cynthia Jo in the queue, as a matter of fact.
Looks like you got a couple of people jumping in there.
All right, yeah, there's a couple of people in there. Let's go to, Michael from Michigan, I believe. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Yes, it is, John. pertaining to devolution, what is your clear thought on what is really going on, that the military is under control, or the white hats, so to speak, are under control, but they are just showing the population how corrupt the corporational government is?
Well, that's the key, you know, and it becomes obvious the longer and longer we're into this thing here where we're just falling apart. The problem is everybody needs to see, or at least most people need to see. 80 or 90% of the people need to see and realize, yes, we do need the military to come in. Yes, we do need to take this nation back. Yes, we do need to put a lot of people on the end of a short rope or in jail. And that's what's going on right now. It's going to get worse. We're heading into nuclear war. There's going to be some frightening things happening soon. I don't know whether it's going to be this year or maybe the beginning of next year, but it's coming. It's coming. And we're going to see China make a move. A lot of things are going to take place, and it's going to look real, real dark. Those of us who know what's going on and know somewhat of the plan, we don't know the whole plan. There's a lot of mysteries here. There's some people who look like enemies that may not be enemies. I don't believe that Session was an enemy, not at all. He looks like an enemy. Trump doesn't talk good about it. And so on and so forth. Same thing with Barr. You know, I've always noticed that Barr has been very careful with the way he says things. Okay, and like when things took place and they talked about all of this problem with the elections and so on and so forth, Barr said, well, I have not seen any evidence. Well, he couldn't look at evidence anyway, because if there's anything going on, it has to be meted out to a prosecutor to investigate, and he's got to keep his nose out of it and just keep an eye at the end of the game plan when he brings up all the evidence. That's how justice works. You don't talk about it. So I haven't seen any evidence. Well, of course he hasn't seen evidence. So it was a very careful statement he made. I could be wrong. Maybe he is the enemy. But I have a feeling he's not. And there's a lot of people like that. You know, look what happened with McCarthy. You know, I'm not too sure about him either. But he was doing a good job. But there were certain things he failed at. But, you know, again, I think it's all part of the game. Jim Jordan, I think, is an excellent pick. I was for Jim when they were first trying to choose a Speaker of the House, but he wanted to go on to the Judiciary Committee, and I understood that. That's where his game was. That's where his knowledge was. He's really knowledgeable of that. He knows what he's doing. He ran a good committee. They accomplished a lot, generally speaking, bringing evidence before the American people particularly and showing the corruption and the problems and so on and so forth. So I don't think Jim Jordan was the right guy for the time. I think this whole thing was planned out to move Jim Jordan in, and now he's moving in. And he'd be in third place for the presidency. If Biden's out of there, Harris can't take the leadership. Did you know that she's an anchor baby? She was born in California as an anchor baby to two people who were here. I don't even know if they were here legally, so I don't even know. Two different countries. They were not citizens. She's not a natural born. They'll try to tell you, oh, she's natural born because she was born on the soil. That means nothing. Never did, never will. If you go back into a Black's Law, a dictionary there, you'll find out what a natural law citizen is. And a natural law, you know, a natural born citizen. Natural born citizen is an individual born to two parents who were citizens at the time of their birth. And they don't have to be born on the soil. They could have been traveling. They could have had the baby in a different country. As long as they were citizens of the United States and they were traveling, that's fine. That's an American, you know. Being born on the soil does not make you a citizen of that country. But the Democrats will disagree with you, and that's how they get it. So what happens then? If you get rid of, Sleepy Joe there, and Harris can't be the president, I know there'll be a big fight on that. Well, that brings Jim Jordan in, doesn't it? And that's an interesting thing there, too. So,
well, speaking of that, John, the point of my question was this. Of course, if you want to get any kind of probably news that resembles the truth, it would be third party and third party sources that I listen to here and there suggest that there are many things actively going on behind the scenes right now that most people aren't aware of, that that is conforming to the continuity of government. But are they just letting it go just to see just how rotten that the corporational government is?
Well, they have to. They have to. You know, just think about this. You know, Trump could have done something when he was in office, but how would that have looked? He would have been looked at like the enemy. And even afterwards, it takes, look at now people everywhere, I mean, people who don't pay attention to anything, okay, are talking. So, I mean, it's getting down to the real bottom of the barrel here, you know, so people are starting to realize this. I think we're very, very close, you know. But, yeah, look, there's a lot of things going on that I'm hearing, but I don't know that it's true yet, but there seems to be some from credible sources coming out with some information that trials have already been taken. A lot of people are being tried at different levels, and there are a couple of ships out in different areas that are actually trying people and sending them out to Guantanamo. And so, you know, things could be happening right now. And I've, you know, and Trump did put a big dent the slavery, what do they call that, the slavery of the children and women and so on and so forth.
Child trafficking, human trafficking.
Human trafficking. Okay, he did put a big dent while he was in, and the dent has continued even after he was out, taking these people down, and a lot of CEOs from different corporations resigned. There's lots of things going on that we're not hearing a lot about, but I think there are a lot of low-level stuff, too. And, you know, I hear some big people were taken out and their doubles are in their place. So I don't know if that's
true.
I don't know. I can't say that. I haven't seen enough evidence to be able to, for me to believe.
Right.
I hope. Hoping is one thing, believing is another, you know?
But there's one thing that from a certain segment of our population that is quite enlightening, and that's coming from the African-American population, that more and more of those folks are speaking against what they thought the Savior Democratic Party was to them.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing more and more.
They're waking up to it finally, and I listen to quite a few different black people that are podcasts, and I think they're speaking a lot mostly to black people, but white people, everybody's listening, and a lot of people listening in, and I'm really, really amazed and happy to see that these people are coming to the knowledge of the truth here. You know, what people don't realize that it was the Federalists, a group of people calling themselves the Federalists. Jefferson wasn't happy about this because he said we're all really Federalists. And these people were pro-slavery. They didn't want slavery to be gotten rid of. They're the ones that made the argument to maintain slavery and pushed it in the Constitution. The enemy was already in the house, so to speak. And that was the Federalist. And in 1803 or 1802, the Democratic Party was born. The Federalist morphed into the Democratic Party, and the Democratic Party has maintained the slavery. They were up against Lincoln, trying to prevent Lincoln's movement to end slavery. He felt that it was his time. It was time for them to happen. It was for him to do, and he accomplished that. But of course, it cost him his life. But it was the Democrats that were pushing that. It was the Democrats with Jim Crow, the Jim Crow laws. It's the Democrats all along maintaining the status quo of slavery and separation, black against white, and maintaining all of this craziness. And, you know, when I think back and I think about this, you know, I'm around a lot of conservatives most of my life, and I didn't see prejudicism for my entire life. Yeah, I saw it here and there, but I never saw a big thing against black people per se in my personal life. People making you know, terrible statements about the color of someone's skin or making racist statements or things like that. I just didn't see that. And I grew up in New York City, you know. I didn't see that. Again, once in a while, you always got a clown that's just lost and, you know, says stupid things and maybe prejudice. But in any event, it is in the Democratic Party that has kept it alive, and they're finally figuring this out.
Right, and they keep wanting to tell the American population that we're a largely divided country, and I say bunk to that. It's political agendas that are driving people into their actions and their beliefs.
They got the horn, that's why, and they make it look like it's you know, many, many more people on one side when in fact they're a small minority. Been a small minority.
Yeah.
Although they are a lot of college kids, unfortunately, they're really dumbing those kids down.
Oh, definitely Common Core, yeah. But, good conversation, John. And I know you got one more person in the queue, so I'll digress.
All righty. Okay. You too. Thanks, Mike. We'll take our next caller. We have a couple people in the queue. We have Wireless again, 312. You got the mic.
Okay. Do you hear me?
I hear you. Go right ahead.
Okay. I am from Illinois. I bought recently the book called Access and the Common Law and Government by Consent.
Mm-hmm.
And previously I bought more books like Common Law Handbook for juries. Sheriff?
Grand jury, yep.
Yes. So I bought a few of these books,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I was trying to read, and I was happy because, you know, I'm Polish,
mm-hmm.
and I got some, you know, some Polish book translated from Poland, the two thick book, Common, wait a minute, because I have a lot of books around here. Now I need to find it. Just a moment. Here, there is.
But while you're looking for that, let me just make a note.
You know, I just wanted to say you that, you know, I was reading the book. I am a human being. I am the living woman or man, not a person. You know, this was the book, the CELO, about CELO and the rules of game. So this was written, this was translated or written by Polish men.
Okay, you told about theory.
And I bought this book. I asked my friend to send to me from Poland.
Mm-hmm.
So this was written in Polish. And I noticed it was hard to read that book, you know, because this was the translation, Polish translation from other books. And then I found that, you know, the name of Anna von Ritz. Was here, and then I just, you know, I started to look for her, you know, so the, because I'm listening, you know, every two times a week, I'm listening to Benjamin, Full for Benjamin, and recently he introduced Anna von Ritz, and then I related her with this, my Polish book. And then I was doing the research on Google, and I found her. And then I found this, you know, I found this book in some ways, you know, the beautiful book, The Straw Man. So, and then I was very happy because in that way I found the people who were restore their status, yes, the political status or any kind of status, you know, for the right status, you know, for the law,
mm-hmm.
Common law, you know, and then, you know, I saw that on the back of this book, I saw National Liberty Alliance, that also, so in that way I found you.
No,
I found your website, and then I I was happy because I thought, oh, this is the people that they are on the right path. So, and then I started to order the books, you know, with these people on the, on the, you know, the picture, you know, in front.
Mm-hmm.
The men, you know, the sons and fathers, and on the bottom of the first cover, you know, there are the black people, you know, mm-hmm. the posters, the black, you know, many. And I thought, oh yeah, I see, we are on the bottom, you know, we need to raise, you know, but, you know, we need the knowledge. So, and your books, I received them, you know, I think 3 days ago, or these books, and I was very surprised. They are so heavy, but inside the contents are very well written. So so I am happy because I would be able to understand and grasp. So I would like to start the course on your website, but I thought maybe I supposed to prepare myself in the first chapter and the last chapter to read from the court access and the common law.
First time you're at a meeting?
Pardon me?
Today's your first day at a meeting, first time?
No, this is the second time.
Huh?
This is the second time that I am on this meeting.
Okay. Yeah, well, what happened? I mean, we're hoping to find a lot of people that find us through the books that we got up there. And just so you know, right here on this page here, which is under Starter Committee of Safety, you come down to Handbooks, Videos, and Tools. All of these handbooks are PDFs that you can download for free if you want. But if you do want a pocket handbook, one that's purchased that you can stick in your pocket, of course, you can get that on Amazon. If you click on that link there on that page, you'll come to the handbooks. So these are some of the handbooks that... what was your first name?
My name is Maria.
Maria. Okay, this is the handbooks that Maria was talking about, some of these handbooks here. We have a common law pedigree handbook and a common law... where's the other one? For grand jury. And these two books, it's absolutely imperative that these two handbooks be the books given to the jurors so that they are fully informed. And they were written for that purpose and for we the people also to be fully informed before we even jurors. But we also know these things. So,
I spent today 8 hours with these books. With
you what?
8 hours and the 8 hours reading.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Constantly, you know. Continuously reading.
If you're looking for the education, though, you'll find that under education.
But then I thought, you know, I would be happy to discuss with some other people who read the books or who have some people who increase their knowledge.
Absolutely.
I wish, you know, and the safety, Committee of Safety in Illinois, I don't know if you know any Committee of Safety that I could go.
Well, what state are you in?
Pardon me?
What state are you in?
Illinois.
Illinois. And what county?
Chicago, Cook County.
Cook County. So let me go to Illinois. And let's see, Cook. We do have someone in Cook County starting the Committee of Safety. You'll find them. Here's their phone number.
Okay.
You can get them underneath Starter. Well, hold on. Go to the directory. Just click on directory. And you'll come down. Let me go back. Let me do this all over so you can... Oh, you're on a phone. So let me just tell you how we did it. You come on to directory, highlight directory on the blue bar. Just click on directory. And then once you get to directory, you come down a little bit and you'll see all the states. So you can click on Illinois. So you click on your state, Illinois. And then you'll see the Committee of Safety leaders. So we've got 6 Committees of Safety it being sparked up in Illinois. So the individual you'll be looking for in Cook County is Tizoc, T-I-Z-O-C, as they put the first name. L? Oh, it's L. T-L-Z-O-K, Z like in Zorro, O-N-C, Tizoc. however you pronounce it, I don't know. The phone number is Tysak. Here's the phone number. 312-312-6099. And if you call that person up, hopefully they're pushing forward. Maybe you can work with them to help them get one going. Maybe they've already got one going already. But that's the person who's signed up.
Wonderful. So I would like to, because by meeting with the people, so you learn from each other.
Absolutely.
And that's so important, because I spend a lot of time reading and in researching and try to understand, you know, what's going on in America. I spend a lot of time listening to videos, you know, but in Polish, in English, but mostly in Polish. Mm-hmm. But then I knew about this, the law, you know, that it's a lot of confusion with this law. What is a law? Which law is supposed to be, you know, followed, you know? And it was not easy, but your books are very good. I see that your books are very good, and I will be able to learn from this book. They are written, I understand, and especially the, you know, to see the difference between the common law and the equity and statute. So this says that the two different types.
Right.
You know,
that's the key.
The other one supposed to be for the people who work for the government, for the agency government.
Right.
And the common law supposed to be for us.
Correct.
But they confuse a lot of our.
Right, most people don't realize that. They don't understand that. When I first came to start to realize certain things in the courts and trying to get into the courts and understand the courts and how things work and figure out how due process is in the courts and what the structure is and all that stuff, we used to go to a place that a lot of people were studying the law, and they never defined or were unable to define the difference between law and equity. And that's a common problem, because people don't know the difference. But once we discovered and we realized the difference, because that's what's in the Constitution, law and equity. And equity, as you mentioned, is for people who work for government agencies.
Also, for contracts or commercial, yes?
And the commercial activity, right.
This is mostly,
states control the commerce within their states, same thing. But law is common law. It's for the people.
Law is common law for the people, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like in the Bible, yes? In the Bible, the New Testament.
Absolutely. Well, the whole Bible is
the common law.
Absolutely.
From the understanding of Jesus Christ, you know, and his atonement, you know.
Absolutely.
So we need to be, this common law has this, you know, the mercy and how do they say that, you know, the God is good for everyone.
Absolutely.
That's why it has to be, in his law has to be mercy, and in his law, the people are learning the God's law, you know, during the time, during the life on this earth.
Absolutely.
So that's why, you know, the understanding, you know, the in the court, they have to look at the people. If these people are bold, or the people have the bad intention, or they are, you know, evil thoughts. So this is different. And there are the people who are just made a mistake, or they just were out of control. And you need to give them another chance, you know, if they show that they were, you know, they say sorry, or they, you know, they have they feel that they were wrong, and they say sorry, you know, for it. I'm going to go in the right way, you know.
Absolutely.
So that's supposed to be the court like this. The judges and so on, you know, they're supposed to teach us in this common law, you know, to understand it and, you know, use in the right way and be kind to other people also.
Right, well, we appreciate
each other.
We appreciate the call and you coming into the meeting. Hopefully we'll see you next week. And next week, we do have one other person in the queue and we're about ready to close down. So I'd like to take the next call. Do you have a final statement?
Yes. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, Maria. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, we'll take our last caller here. Brett, you got the mic. What state you from, Brett?
Hello?
Go ahead, Brett. You got the mic. What's your state again?
I know Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Okay.
Wisconsin.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, question is, just trying to get an idea on how something like this would be handled, but minor child, right?
Right. I remember now. Yep.
Received a citation, but I requested information on all the notes, the police notes, everything that they have. So,
yeah, where is the case at now? I remember talking to you about this on a few occasions. So where's your case right now, though?
It's over with. It was settled with community service. So my thing is that when I requested the report, it had some other minor children on there. So they claimed that they couldn't have those names visible to me.
So they redact them, right?
Right. So what happened is when there was the trial for it and there was other parents there for their minors and they got a report that had my child's information on it. So the report I got, there was nothing, no one I could speak to get any information, but the report I have was different from the report that other parents had, and they didn't redact my child's name out of it.
So they gave the report to other people and left your child's name on that?
Correct.
That's a lawsuit right there.
That's what I was wondering if it and
absolutely. Yeah, I recall your case, and if I were you, I would consider suing them, but I'd wait till devolution plays out and you're on the other side and going after them. That's what I would do. I got lots of cases I'm going back in the court for, and particularly those that NLA has put together for subversion, going against all these judges and all the federal judges, state judges, and all these individuals that just thumb their nose at the people and the law. They just don't care. And I believe we spoke also about, I think you're in the course, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah. So really work diligently in that course so you can take your case in on your own. And, go through the course. I don't know if you've been through the whole course yet, but when you're done going through the whole course, we got on that course, we have all these MP3s. Let me just click quickly to the page here, recorded videos. Okay, at the bottom of the page where all the videos are for the course, you'll see there's MP3s down on the bottom. Yeah, I'll be leaving in a few minutes. There's MP3s, so you can put all these MP3s into your phone or your MP3 player or whatever it is. Once you've watched them, you're really going to build your knowledge up by just throwing them on in your car when you're driving around or when you're doing something that's mindless and that you're going to, listen to the MP3. Just play them over and over and over again. And you'll really, it'll all sink right in. And, the more time you spend with any subject matter, the better you get and the more you can retain. And the next thing you know, you're articulating whatever it is that you want to articulate. It just falls out of off your tongue, And it's like anything else. The more time you spend in something, then the more you master it. So, but yeah, if you're going to do it, just get your education as best you can and go in there and take them out.
What would you call that type of suit?
Interesting. Well, first of all, they denied you your due process. They forced you into a situation where you didn't want to participate, and they made you come, and you had to, because of the fear of the danger of what they might do to your child or to you, that you had to conform. And now I don't have to conform no more, and I'm back, and now it's for you to conform. I mean, that's the attitude I would have. So denial of due process would be one thing. Okay, putting your name of your child out there, there's a minor, and putting that name on information that was given to other people, put your family into jeopardy, put your child into jeopardy, put you into jeopardy, and also character assassination. You have to think it out. Any court case that I write, first order of business is the affidavit. Sit down and write just the facts, nothing but the facts. No law, no attitude, no response, nothing. No assumptions, just the facts, on or about, if I don't know the exact date or time, and I just write it out. And then I'll put it aside, and I'll come back later, and I'll read through it, maybe clean it up, and put more information. Because as you go through it over and over, oh, I forgot that, yeah, this, that, and the other thing. Once you get your case down, because that's the guts of your case, that's the whole case, really, is the facts, just the facts. And then it's a matter of taking those facts and putting them into general, kind of a general expression of what that affidavit is about. You refer to the affidavit in your paperwork, and you lay that in. You open up your court of record, and you tell them who you're suing and why you're suing them. You know, and you just follow the process that we laid out. There's a process of all of the necessary information. So you got an injury, okay, and you've been put in jeopardy. And you and your daughter and your family, they need restitution. I'd go out after them for every penny I can get out of them. I'd make them pay.
So is there a point where it's outrageous as far as for damages?
Well, I look at issues like for a violation of a right, basic standard I go off of, and sometimes it's a lot more than that, okay. But basic standard where I start off is $1,000 in real money. So $1,000 in real money, I don't know what an ounce of gold. Let's say an ounce of gold is $2,000. It should be close anyway for an ounce of gold. So that's 20 silver dollars is an ounce of gold. So 5 times 5, what is it? 5, 10, 20. Let's see, 20 times 5, that's 100. So it would be 5 ounces of gold. So 5 times 2,000, okay. That's $10,000. That's standard, and that's roughly the value. No, it's a lot more than that. What am I saying? Let me go redo that, because it's $1,000, so it's 5 times 5 for every 100 times 10. Okay, that's 50. So 50 ounces of gold times $2,000, which is roughly an ounce of gold at this point. That's $100,000 if that math is right on that. So that's kind of a standard. So for every violation of a right, I go for $1,000 face value. Silver dollars, Morgan silver dollars. Okay, and then certain other damages you might calculate in a different way. There's a biblical principle: you steal a man's ox, you got to give him back two. There's a principle of four. So my last case that I wrote against the IRS, they were coming out after this individual that I worked with on this case. I'm trying to think how much they were coming out. Goodness. I don't remember the amount, but it was well over 100,000, maybe 200, close to 200,000. This was where they took money out of his retirement. That's what it was. And it was $7,000, okay, each month. So at this point, there's 3 months, so times three, that's $21,000 times four, because four is the number that's in the Bible that we can go for. So times four, so that's $84,000 right there. So that's kind of how I look at numbers to some degree. I think we have something on the website where there's some calculations put together by different court cases that might be helpful. I'm not sure where that's at, but I think we might have something up there. But again, I always look for real money. I want silver dollars. I want $1,000 face value, silver dollars, you know?
So, per injury, right?
Per violation, right. So let me just look at this again. Let's say an ounce of gold is $2,000, okay? The 2000, I think it's like 18 and change or 19 and change. It may be over 2000 now. I don't know. It's been a while since I looked. So $2,000 divide by 20, okay? So that's $100 for every silver coin, okay? That's its real value, okay? So $100 times 1,000. Is that what it is, 1,000 silver coins? Let me go back to 2,000. 2,000. Divide by 20, okay, it's $100 times 1,000. So that's quite a bit of money. Yeah, it's $100,000 for every $1,000 in silver.
Wow.
But anyway, by the time you get to this lawsuit, we'll be on the real money system anyway, because it'll be on the, you know, you're going to really want to push this on the other side of devolution. But so, right now, you should be educating yourself and preparing your case and writing it. You got to get all your evidence together. You got to get your affidavit together, and you should be looking at it every day until you feel pretty comfortable with what you have. And even a couple of weeks or a month down the line, you look at it again. So, oh, let me add this. Or let me clean this up. You know, the key to writing a good paper is writing your paper and then going through it. At bare minimum, 10 times, bare minimum. You read through it, and you clean it up. You make some changes to certain words, some phrases, maybe make it a little more clearer, maybe add something, put it aside, come back a day or two later, read it again, and you'll find you're at it again. You're going to clean it up. You're going to make some changes, maybe find better words, better phrases, and then you'll do it again another day or two later. You do it again and again and again. I do it at least 10 times any paper I write, bare minimum.
So time is...
I feel, yeah. You can still always do better, you know what I mean? But go ahead.
So I'm make use of the time we have when you say push it on the other side of devolution.
Right. Right now is a time of education. Right now is a time of preparedness. We should all be doing that for the sole purpose of having government by consent. Now is a time of education. Now is the time for preparedness. Now is the time for building your committees of safety. But committees of safety can have power right now. You can have power. If you organize your committee of safety, get enough people going, you start dealing with the school boards, you can take their jobs away from these people. And we have a process. We'll be talking a little bit about that next Monday.
Okay.
Okay. With that, I got to go because we're late. It's 10 after. And I got to run out. So.
Thank you for your time, John.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Brett. Okay, thanks everyone for coming. And Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. And again, next Monday, it's a special Monday. Also a reminder of our Bible study we have on Wednesdays and Thursday evenings at 7:30 p.m. right here in this room. You can find that information on that. Education starts here. Come down to Bible study. And it's a live study and going through things right now. So, all right. Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming.